My name is Ryan Luke Winslade, and I am a PK and middle child. I know what it's like to be a misfit, an oddball, a weirdo, but I'm okay with that. If you're like me, you are most certainly welcome. Even if you're not, you'll hopefully enjoy yourself here on Pastor's Middle Kid anyway. We'll talk about stuff and look at things a little differently. All right, let's get started. And welcome to the next 30 or so minutes of your day, unless you're going to pause it and go back and listen later, in which case it'll be all chopped up. Anyway, this is Pastor's Middle Kid. My name's Ryan Luke. Thank you for listening. This is the 40th episode of this show. Can you believe it? We've already hit 40. I've only been going for about a year. Yeah, it's really cool. Now, I have Ethan Landers with me on the show this week, and he is a YWAM kid who's been living in Louisville, Kentucky for the last 9 years. His parents are the center directors there. So we talk a little bit about what it's like having expectations on you, or if there are any, in that type of thing with parents in a position of leadership in a ministry. And so I try and draw some kind of parallel to being a pastor's kid, and I think it works. You'll have to wait and see. Yeah, it's a good conversation, and I think that you'll like it. Now, if you've been following my journey on social media, then you'll probably know that I didn't have enough money to be in lectures for the School of Communication and Digital Influence that I've been taking. However, in this last week, God provided everything that I needed. Absolutely incredible. If I tally it right up, over the last 7 weeks, God has provided for me $5,000. That's incredible. I needed $2,500 to pay off my staff debt before the school began. I got into lectures a few days late, but that was perfectly fine. I felt like I caught right up and was right in the thick of things. Now, when it got to last week, we had Daniel Norris speaking for a couple of weeks, actually. In his second week, I had to have the rest of the school course cost paid off, and that was about $2,300 or so dollars. And I didn't know where it was going to come from. And sure enough, it didn't come in for the Tuesday when lectures began for the week, and it didn't come in on the Wednesday. However, I felt like God wanted me to fast and pray on the Wednesday, and I meditated on a couple of scriptures. And I just had this crazy feeling that I'd be in lectures on Thursday. I don't really understand where that came from. It must have been God. I think it was faith. I asked him for more faith, and I think he gave it to me. That Thursday morning, I walked into the classroom before intercession, and there was the girl from accounts. She came bounding up to me with a receipt in hand that said $1,170.92. from Santa. So there was an anonymous donation of over $1,000 on the Thursday morning, and then within 5 minutes, the rest of the money had been cleared as well. And it was absolutely incredible. I'm blown away at God's goodness, and I'm sincerely thankful to everyone that has been praying for me and supporting me financially. I'm incredibly thankful. So yeah, this one goes out to you guys, for everyone that's been lifting me up. This episode 40 with Ethan Landers, it's sure to be a good one. Now, the music that I have in the transition and in the end, this is a band called Cado Young, C-A-D-O-Y-O-U-N-G. This EP came out last year. Now, this band, Cado Young, is made up of a couple of guys that both came through YWAM Brisbane. I met one of them. He was on staff when I was a student on a DTS there, and I didn't realize how awesome their music was. So I got this EP on their Bandcamp page. That's catoyoung.bandcamp.com. I think it's pay what you want for it. And the EP is called Origin, And this song is called Home. It's the last song on the EP. And I will finish this episode with my personal favorite from this four-track EP called Wander. Now, it is quite a hard hitter. If you like bands like Thrice, then I think you'll like Cato Young. These guys are from Arizona. Keep an eye out for them. I don't know if they are still making music or not, but if they do, then you'll want to make sure that you know about it because they are awesome. Cool. Well, buckle up. It's going to be quite a good episode. Episode 40 with Ethan Landers. Here we go. Welcome to Pastor's Middle Kid, Ethan. It's good to have you.
Sweet. It's good to be on.
Now, everyone's going to have to excuse our creaking chairs if you hear any funny noises. It's because we're sitting on office chairs that haven't had their oil can recently, as far as the Tin Man's concerned. Now, Ethan, you are just coming back to YWAM Newcastle. You did DCS in October. Well, you started in October last year.
Yep.
Finished in March. Why don't you go ahead and give the listeners a bit of an idea of who you are, where you come from?
Yeah, sweet. So, yeah, I grew up actually in YWAM. I grew up, my parents met in YWAM and got married and then had me and my sister. And so, growing up, I kind of always knew that I was going to do a DTS, and I decided to do it here in Newcastle. And then during my DTS, I was asked to pray about coming back on staff, and I did, and I felt like this is where God was calling me. So super stoked to be back and see all that God has for me here.
Come on. Nice. And so that was in Louisville, Kentucky, right?
Oh, yeah. My parents met in YWAM in a base in Arkansas, actually.
Right.
And then we were at a base in Tennessee. And then we, about 9 years ago, my parents felt led to Pioneer Base in Louisville, Kentucky. So that's where we've been the last 9 years.
So you've just been jumping around the South, and now you're at the North of the South.
Yeah, the North of the South.
And now you come to New South Wales. There you go. Wow, cool. So you've actually grown up in YWAM. Now, this is something that I've had Nathan Stevenson on before, and he's grown up in YWAM as well, under slightly different circumstances. Being YWAM Newcastle, he hasn't moved around. And I myself was a YWAM kid until I was about six. So I could say I was born into YWAM. My parents met in YWAM and had four kids in it. So very much relatable to you there. But with this this difference of my parents leaving YWAM, so our family jumping into the pastoral ministry, whereas yours stayed in YWAM, I wanna just talk to you briefly about what it was like growing up with parents in positions of leadership. I assume they weren't base directors of all the centers that they were at in the States. Just the latest one?
Yeah, my dad was the training director in Nashville, and then we pioneered it in Louisville, so, or he pioneered it in Louisville, so now he's the base director there.
Okay, cool. So The last 9 years, that'd take you back to what, 10 years old?
Something yeah, like that. 10 years old.
Okay. So that was about the time where my dad started as a pastor. So I think you and I might have kind of parallel parallel experiences here. And so what I want to do now is I want to see if I can draw the comparison between being a bass director's kid and being a pastor's kid.
Okay, sweet.
So what was it like having your parents as the leaders of a YWAM center? Was there any expectations you felt on you? Was it good? Was it bad?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely times where I felt like there was some expectations mm-hmm. on me, just because people would know my background. And so there would, I think at school and different places that people maybe did put expectations on me, but probably not as much, I would think, as a pastor's kid would, because I think the pastor's kid, the whole church kind of looks at a little bit more, where me is like, okay, yeah, we know he should be good, but we're not keeping our eye on him to make sure, you mm-hmm. know. So, yeah, but I'm really grateful for it. I see, like, the benefits of being able to learn from watching my parents lead, and then also just growing up in YWAM, I feel like gives you so many opportunities to, because from an early age, I was around people coming to DTS all the time, and yeah. they're 18, 19, 20 years old, and I was, you know, 10 on, or my whole life, really, so I would hang out with them, and think it, in some ways, made me maybe mature faster right. in different ways, mm-hmm. and so I think that's a huge, like, blessing. And then also I was fortunate enough to go on a lot of outreaches with my parents, and mm-hmm. so that was such a blessing to learn from those.
Were they just DTS outreaches, or
DTS and then also second level school outreaches?
Cool. Yeah. What types of second level schools?
In Louisville, they run a School of Ministry Development, or a SOMD. So yeah, some of those outreaches, and we would only go most of the time during the summer mm-hmm. because of school. Yep. And so if my mom, or usually my mom would help out with the team, and then my dad would go around and do a bunch of different pastoral visits. And mm-hmm. so we would go somewhere. We went to Thailand several times.
Nice.
When I was in high school and middle school, and went to Nicaragua several times as well, and mm-hmm. Ukraine, probably other places I just can't remember right. off the top of my head.
Yeah. So from an early age, with your parents being in Wyoming, you were jumping around the world, going on different adventures and stuff.
Yeah, I left the country. I left the States for the first time when I was like 6 months old. Mm-hmm. Went to Mexico, and I actually took my first steps in Hong Kong.
Wow, come on.
Yeah. So that was, yeah, life of YWAM kid, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Wow. I can relate to that, actually going on an outreach, or at least going internationally as a baby. I believe my parents took me to the Commonwealth Games in Victoria, Canada. So on Vancouver Island, when I was 1 year old or something wow. like that. So
yeah,
very much the same type of thing, except my parents left. So then I stopped going on those outreaches, and you kept on going all over the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said that there were some expectations placed on you. This is the theory I'm working with, that the expectations that you had as a YWAM kid were different to what I had as a pastor's kid, because the church would only see me on a Sunday.
Mm.
So they wouldn't know exactly what I was up to at all times, and so they'd see me and expect me to be on my best behavior, and if I did anything wrong, then that would stick with them for the rest of the week. Whereas I feel like for you, maybe having a whole community around you every day, if they saw you do something wrong, they'd forget about it by the next day, because then they would see you again, and there'd be yeah. forgiveness and all that type of thing.
Yeah, I would say that's probably pretty accurate. I wouldn't say there's a huge like expectation. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that. Maybe other kids that have grown up in YWAM feel mm-hmm. differently or something. But I would definitely say that would probably describe it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was interesting because growing up, I would get really close to the staff, and so they would be like my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. So I think even if there was this expectation, they still looked at me as like a little brother. Yeah. And so they were pretty quick to like, oh, yeah, well, he's a lot younger than mm-hmm. us. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, cool. And I myself didn't feel extremely pressured by expectations as a pastor's kid, and there are other pastor's kids that do feel that expectation.
Yeah.
So maybe I and maybe you aren't the best ones to to be drawing this comparison, but I think it's interesting to consider the having the parents in a position of leadership within a ministry, mm-hmm. regardless of what it looks like. There are expectations on the children because of the leadership role of their parents. So I don't know. Maybe that's maybe I'm crazy, or maybe there's something more to it here. Cool. All right. So something else that I wanted to ask you about is you said you always knew you were going to do a DTS. I know plenty of kids that grow up in YWAM that get to the end of high school and say, "I'm never doing a DTS."
Yeah.
Why are you different to that?
I think there might have been a time of like a year where I was like unsure, a year or two where I was unsure, but I would say, I don't know, it just seemed like the thing that everybody did, mm-hmm. because growing up that's what everybody did. I think when I hit like 13, 14, I was like, okay, I don't know, and then I think that's probably the time where my relationship with the Lord really got serious.
Mm.
And I guess YWAM kind of ruins you for normality. So I didn't want to just go and get a job and work to make money to pay bills.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was like,
you wouldn't have seen your parents doing that growing up, right?
No.
Or at least you would have seen them doing that in a different kind of way.
In a different way. Yeah, I guess in my mind, I mean, I know there's like meaning to like, you know, like, it's great when, you know, God uses people in the business world. But in my mind, from a young age, you know, I was thinking, oh, like, I want to do missions because I want to really, you know, serve God and stuff. Yeah. And so I think, you know, I always knew I wanted to do missions, and I grew up in YWAM, and I was like, well, this is a great foundation if you want to go into long-term missions to do a DTS.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Do you reckon it would be a combination of the influence of your parents and the staff members that you said were like older brothers and sisters, as well as obviously God's direction, that kind of that made you open to the idea of doing a DTS?
Yeah, I would say so. Because
maybe there are YWAM kids that don't do DTS because as they go through their teenage years, they are no longer as close to some of the staff members or the DTS students that come through, so they begin transitioning out of that type of world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I have several friends from over the years who are my age, and let's see, one of them did a DTS, and then another one of them, he grew up in YWAM, and you know, same thing, and he just really felt like God was calling him to go to college, and that's great. And I know other YWAM kids that are a little older than me that grew up and were just like, you know, I don't need it. And I don't know that they're necessarily I don't need it, but they just didn't really feel like they needed to go through it maybe as much as I did. I didn't really feel, I don't know how to describe it, maybe. I guess when you grow up in YWAM, you kind of see it as, oh, DTS, you know, it seemed like it's like the normal thing.
It's the logical step.
It's the logical step, or it's like the thing that everybody does. And so I feel like that kind of turns some people off maybe. And they don't want to do that because it's like, oh, everybody I know does that. And mm-hmm. They kind of want to live their own life maybe.
Yeah.
And I see, like, you know, if that's what God's calling to do, great. And if you know, God has them do DTS, great, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, when I finished high school, I went off to university, and it wasn't because I was anti-God.
Yeah.
Or against missions or anything like that. It was because both my older brothers had done DTS before me, so I didn't want to be like them. I wanted to be the independent middle child, do my own thing.
Yeah.
And then went off to uni for a year, and halfway through, this time 4 years ago, God said, I wanted you in missions, so you should finish the university and go off to do DTS and be in YWAM for a while. So I understand that I don't want to be like everyone else that I've grown up with type of mentality. That's, I don't know. I feel like there's something to that whole, it's basically a pastor's kid mentality, regardless mm-hmm. of what it is. So the pastor's kid could grow up seeing godly principles and family modeled the way that God intended it to be, and then that inspires them to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could go to the complete opposite end of the spectrum and go completely off the rails, and then they're, you know, doing whatever whatever that entails. But so they're either very much living for God or they're very much not.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that that's it's an either or kind of situation. There are obviously, there's middle ground as well, but from what I have seen, from what I've heard of, it's more common that it's one or the other.
Yeah.
And the ones that are really going for it go on to become like Caleb Brownhill in Perth. And
yeah.
So he's the son of base leaders there, and he's now the regional director for the South Pacific or something like that. And he's really going for it. And we had him here last week, and it's awesome to see how that family legacy has been continued. And then there are other people that try and get out because they want to breathe different air to what they've grown up with. And I don't know. I for one am happy to see that you are pursuing a godly path, and you haven't done the reactive thing that was a potential. So you're here at YWAM Newcastle to staff now. And how long do you expect that will be for?
Well, I made a 2-year commitment,
mm-hmm.
and so obviously at least 2 years.
Right, yeah.
After the 2 years, I'll have to really, you know, see what God has for me,
mm-hmm.
but I'm open to staying here in Newcastle or moving on. Yep. I would like to do a secondary school
mm-hmm.
in YWAM. I just see the value in it, and I would like to really sharpen my skills in another area, and
mm-hmm.
before I go too much farther, you know, probably after the 2 years, I'll want to do a secondary school. That way I'm, you know, just perfecting my skills, I guess, in a way, and developing more skills for being more effective in missions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how long were you home between the end of your DTS and coming back here?
About 6 weeks.
Right. So that's, for the Australian listeners, that's about as long as the Christmas holidays. But for everyone else, that doesn't seem like very long at all.
No.
I remember as a kid, you get to the end of the year, and because our calendar year is, our school year is different to yours because it's based off the calendar year and summer as the main break. We get to the end of the year and think, 6 weeks, this is the best. And because you're growing and everything is new and exciting, that 6 weeks takes forever. Well, that's how it feels. But as an adult,
it went by really fast.
So I don't want to get into anything too personal, but what was it like being home for only 6 weeks, knowing that you were only going to see your family again for 6 weeks, when before you could have thought you'd be coming back for good?
I decided before I came home mm-hmm. that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
Because I really felt like God was leading me to come back and staff the school in July.
Yeah.
And so going into it, I was trying to prepare myself, I guess, for only being back about 6 weeks. I don't remember if it was 6 or 7. I don't remember mm-hmm. the exact time, but it was about 6.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was really busy, and it was hard to balance trying to raise finances to come back here,
yeah.
and also spending time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but I feel like I did pretty good at raising finances and fairly good at spending time with my family. I mean, I wish I could have done better in both areas,
yeah.
but mm-hmm. of course, like, you know, I only had so much time. Mm-hmm. But I think I learned a whole lot. I feel like God was really kind of making me count the cost, maybe.
Yeah.
Because yeah. it was like, okay, yeah, 6 weeks, and then you're going right mm-hmm. back. And so it was, yeah, I think it was a time of maybe counting the cost and then also trusting mm-hmm. that I could raise support, you know, mm-hmm. in that time. So.
Yeah. And your parents and your sister, they, I'm guessing, were fairly supportive of this decision.
Yeah, they were supportive. Of course, nobody wants their kid to move halfway around the world at least 2 years. Yeah, so they were pretty supportive, but I think it was also I'm the oldest, so
yeah.
it's like, oh wow, this is a new season.
Yeah.
So I think it was just a time of moving into a new season where it's like, oh, our whole like family dynamic is sort of changing in
yeah.
a way, because mm-hmm. as me and my sister get older, things are going to look a little different.
Mm-hmm. And how old's your sister now?
She's 17.
17. Okay. Yeah. So it's only 1 year until she does DTS and then goes and stuff somewhere else, right?
That's
maybe
the expectation. Maybe.
Right. Okay. And so I'm guessing that your parents were supportive because that's what they've known, and I can definitely relate to that, myself having done DTS 3 years ago and going home knowing that, and then within a month I knew that I was going to come and staff in Newcastle, and I didn't even do DTS here, so it was definitely God's direction getting me mm-hmm. here. My parents have been absolutely incredibly stupidly supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, yeah, it's, I'm entirely indebted to them. They are, yeah. And so you, I'm sure that you will find this as well, because my parents were in YWAM for, gosh, I don't know, 17 years, something like
yeah.
that. So they know all about what it is to be a staff member. They know how it feels
yeah,
to leave
sure.
home and to begin to develop as an adult in this type of environment. And so I think having parents that know from experience what it feels like is going to be a real strength to you.
Yeah, for sure.
A real support, and already has been, obviously, but
yeah.
particularly in the moments where it gets hard and where there's something that YWAM Newcastle does that you just don't really agree with, and you just vent to your father on the phone about it, and then he says, I'm glad you got that out of your system. Now let's hear the Lord and let's move forward with this. Your parents having gone through similar situations is
yeah.
really, really, it's really good. It will be a real strength to you.
And it was really helpful in the fundraising too.
Mm-hmm.
They lived off support for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And so they were able to give me a few tips
yeah.
to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I mean, and we even have, because of modern technology, we have different things that they didn't have beforehand.
Yeah.
But if any YWAM is keeping up with the times, then they've already got the GoFundMes and everything else all set up and all that. And that's usually for DTS. I don't know. I'm looking at this from a... I myself haven't... I don't know. It's not that I haven't been active in fundraising. If anyone has been following me on social media for the last 7 weeks, they'll know that I've been really pushing my need, and God has been providing, and people have been really generous. That's just how I felt that I was supposed to go about it for this time. But going off to DTS, I see so many GoFundMe pages go
oh,
up, and
yeah.
all these online fundraisers and selling T-shirts and all that. And that's fine. I'll jump on board, and if I have any spare money, I'll get a shirt or something. But I just find it so funny. When I was working in student communications on the phones, And people would ask me, how do I raise money for DTS? I'd say, you could do a whole bunch of stuff. You could bake things, but if you're like me, don't bake things, because nobody will want to buy that.
Yeah.
Car washes and all that type of stuff. So yeah, that's encouraging to hear that you have had some traction and you've been able to raise some support. So keep that up. And yeah, parents are definitely a very good source of wisdom for all things in that type of arena, if they're anything like yours and mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So you're staffing DTSs, right?
Yeah.
All right. And what DTSs are you staffing? What do you want to get out of this next school that's coming up?
Yeah, I'm staffing the Music and Arts DTS coming up here in July.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny, when I got asked to staff it, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, just so you know, I'm not very musical or artsy, mm-hmm. but I'm interested. But they were pretty fine with that. More concerned about whether or not I'm able to disciple somebody than play an instrument. I play a little guitar, but hopefully some talent will rub off me during the school, on me during the school.
Yeah.
But I want to really learn to grow in like servant-hearted leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that God was showing me going into this, and I really want to learn to serve well during DTS, you know, this DTS coming up. And I'm super excited about being able to work with students and really mentor them and stuff. That's something I love doing. Mm-hmm. I love seeing people's light bulbs turn on and people just getting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can be any part in that, I would love to, you know, be a part of that and watch people's light bulbs turn on. And even if it's hard work, I really just love that one moment after maybe weeks of something, you know, somebody just getting something and they're like, oh, it just makes so much sense now. And so I'm super stoked about that. And we'll see what else God teaches me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. And honestly, if you keep that position of your heart, that humble position, and you want to grow in servant leadership and focus on the servant part of it, allow the leadership to come along naturally, then that's what's in store.
Mm-hmm.
God has that for you. And if that's honestly the desire of your heart and you take delight in the Lord and you focus on Him and you're thanking Him for every day, then He will give you the desire of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And He will humble you like crazy.
Yes.
And make you look more like Jesus as a result. And I know for you and for me, both having gone through DTS and knowing the potential impact that a staff member has on our lives as impressionable young men. I was 19 when I did my DTS, and having that type of influence on someone is not something to be taken lightly, but the potential is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
For sure.
I definitely wouldn't be who I am today without the staff members on my DTS, and I'm incredibly thankful for them. And I'm really excited to see how you grow and to see the ways that you go crazy. both with not having any time to do anything except mark workbooks and do one-on-ones, but also you go crazy with the anointing that God has given you and not hold anything back, because that's what this is all about. Being a staff member is all about going for it.
Thanks,
diving
man.
In head first. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. Privileged that I get to be in the same place as you for the next couple of years.
Yeah, be fun.
Yeah, play some more basketball and stuff and get defended. Man, you're a tall guy. Great. Okay, so here to staff DTSs, you're from Louisville, Kentucky. You've grown up in YWAM. This is a new season, like you said. It's a new season for your family unit as well as for joining this family. And yeah, I don't know, there's some good things ahead.
Yeah, for sure.
There's some hard times ahead, but also some really good times.
Yep.
And that's kind of what it's all about in following God's direction. Do you have anything to say about that, regarding picking up your cross and following Jesus? Things being really hard but working themselves out. Have you had any specific moments, even on your DTS, where you've decided to walk in the opposite spirit, take something that came your way that you didn't really have a choice about, and God worked through it?
Yeah, I would say that, before my DTS, actually, when I was in high school, there's a moment where, I guess it was when my relationship with God started to really mature,
mm-hmm.
and God had called me to give up different things in my life, and I was kind of frustrated, and I didn't understand why,
mm-hmm.
but I obeyed anyways, and then afterwards I was a little frustrated with God, but I heard him speak to me more clearly than I think I've ever heard mm-hmm. him speak before, and he said, if love didn't cost you, it would never be worth it. And wow. After I started thinking about that, at first I didn't think it made any sense because mm-hmm. I was a little frustrated in the moment. But after I started thinking about it, I started realizing that, you know, our relationship with God, there is going to be stuff that costs us, but it's all going to be worth it.
Mm.
And so that's kind of how I try to look at things whenever things get tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, this is tough and it's not fun and it cost me something, or I need to, you know, moving here, yeah, it cost me something, but it's worth it. It's worth the intimacy I get with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I look at it in that way, when you like count the cost, there's really no cost. It's you're mm-hmm. gaining so much more. And because of that, I would say, I guess that's the way I look at things.
Yeah. Yeah. So say what God said to you one more time for the listeners. Listeners, get out your notebook and pen. He's going to say it. And I believe the quote goes from the Lord, is attributed to the Lord. So
yeah.
What was it again?
If love didn't cost you, it would never be worth it.
Come on.
So yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I was going to say something like, put that on a plaque and hang it at your next job, or put that in your pope and in your pope and smike it.
Oh, there you go.
Put that in your pope and smike it.